Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Thank God that we're able to be here another day. We're able to get into look into the mirror, and that is to get into none other than what thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. One writer says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's a privilege and a blessing to be able to be over the airways one more time to get into perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God. So we thank God for that. His Word is ever settled in heaven. He's magnified His Word above all His name. So we're thankful for God's Word. There's the flower withereth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And the writer goes on to say, surely the people is grass. So there is nothing like God's Word. So we are blessed to be able to be here on another session. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our and listeners and followers, and also all of our Twitter listeners and followers, and all our Facebook friends and followers that are able to follow us on this venue. We thank God for it. So we have been talking about the Godhead for a number of weeks here lately. So just so good to be able to get into the Word of God. And so many people don't understand the Godhead, which is the God who is the head of all things. So God only can give you an understanding, like the scripture says in Zechariah 4 and 6, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So God has to give us an understanding. So we can see even John, the revelator, the one that wrote the book of the Revelation. He also wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistle of John. Also the book of the Revelation. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the aisle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, so you got to be in the Spirit to be able to hear what thus saith the Lord. That's a, you have to have a spiritual ear. We can see in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation, he wrote unto those churches there. So we know now, here we are in the Laodicean church age. But the message for us, as the parting message for them, and that is, let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Also in the 95th Psalm says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. And also in the book of the Hebrews, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What is the voice of God? The voice of God is the word of God. So we know God's word is the truth when it's rightly divided. So we thank God for his word. So we got to have his word. So his word is going to stand. We can see his word being fulfilled even right now before our eyes, and especially in the political process. So many things are going on. We have words that we call things. They in the media, they sensationalize. They stretch things. They make it seem as though something else is being said. What that really is a lie. All liars going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you got to be truthful. You got to speak the truth in your heart. And so where do you find that at? So you, and God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what do you have to do to ensure that? And that's, you can find that in the 15th Psalm. Says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Question, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh the reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So that's a good thing right there. Now here's what you don't want to do. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what you don't want to do, is to be a fool. That's the biggest fool, is a fool that said in his heart, there is no God. It didn't come out of his mouth, but he said it in his heart. So to understand, like I said, the word Godhead is in the Holy Writ or the Scriptures three times, Colossians 2 and 9, Romans 1 and 20, and Acts 17 and 29. So we said it before, anything that has more than one head is a freak. It ain't no Holy Trinity. That is one of the dirtiest lies that the devil has ever perpetrated out of hell. There is no such thing as the Trinity. Ain't no such thing as God got his hand out and Jesus is standing on it. That is a stupid statement. Biblical terminology, the right hand, like you say, somebody is somebody's right hand man, that means that they're at their own right hand. So, but God is all of these things. So he is his own right arm. And how can I prove that? In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we should see him. There should no beauty we desire. He is stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we know that's talking about none other than Jesus himself. So he is the right hand of God. So this is what we've been endeavoring to do. I think this may be I'm not for sure if this is the fourth or the fifth consecutive week that we are doing the Godhead. I think it may be the fifth week that we're doing the Godhead. We're visiting back because you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. And so we started off 2 years ago when we first started Blog Talk Radio. We, at the first 3 weeks, I believe, we focused on the Godhead. So we had numbers of subjects. We went through all the Acts of the Apostles. We went through the book of Romans. I think we went through the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. We went through the book of Ephesians. I believe the book of Galatians. The book of Colossians. So we've had various subjects. We taught on the man of sin, which is the Antichrist. So we've done things. So good to be able to get in that word and search it out for yourself. That's what you don't want to do, is to be deceived. And this is what the Bible says. In the book of Galatians, Paul, Apostle Paul wrote to that church, and he was saying about not being deceived and about believing another gospel. So he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So this is what you don't want to do. Then you got to catch a hold of the words that the Apostle Peter said when he preached on the day of Pentecost, and that is, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So in Galatians 1 and 6, Apostle was writing to the church at Galatia, which is the Galatians, when he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that it called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. Then he goes on, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So you got to pay very close attention to repetition. So you will be cursed if you believe any other gospel. What gospel is that? What the apostles taught, the 12 who the Lord Jesus Christ himself chose. So, like I said before, and there are people nowadays who have crowned themselves or named themselves apostles. You don't want that job. They had a horrible job and the things that they suffered. And that is, their job was to lay the foundation, to write the New Testament scriptures. They were eyewitnesses, and they died horrible deaths. Now, Apostle Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that it was meet about him being meet to be called an apostle, and how he said he wasn't worthy. He persecuted the church and wasted it. So he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, I labor more than abundantly than they all. And he went on to say, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And how he preached the gospel, and he was an apostle to the Gentiles. So there are no apostles nowadays, and people just, they don't have understanding of what the scripture is saying. And I wouldn't want to be standing before God, and I don't name myself an apostle, because it's not about that title, and you don't want that title. These men were chosen by the Lord to have that title. So what happens, and we can see that God is not, the Bible lets us know, and then also got to realize that the letters were written to the children of God or the saints of God. You better know you're a saint of God now. You read in the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians, he talks about that we were chosen in him, in the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, especially in the Corinthians and the book of Romans, we were called to be saints. That's a lie out of hell. Ain't no somebody can suggest that you make sainthood. That's a lie out of hell, and the devil knows that is a lie, perpetrated that lie. You better know that you are a saint of God right while you are living, not when you somebody else to hope that you make sainthood. That's foolishness. You better know you're a saint of God right now. So we look at things, nobody's a saint. Oh, yeah, nobody's perfect is the word that they are in Christendom too many people are afraid to use. But the Bible said, be perfect. And the first one who said that, even back in the Old Testament, how people walk with God and not with a perfect heart. God called Job a perfect and upright man. So when you look at biblical perfection or the word perfect in the Bible, it has to do with maturity. You mature. So in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, you're talking about he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto, there it is, a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. What he says, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, and speaking the truth in love, may grow up, there it is, maturity, in him who is the head of all things, the Bible goes on to say, written by the Apostle Paul, even Christ. So we got to be mature. We got to grow up in him. So you got to search this word out for yourself. So a couple so-called religions, which is if they're not teaching what the apostles whom the Lord Jesus Christ chose, if they're not teaching what they taught, then they're perpetrating a lie anyway, because there's no such thing as a so-called man named John Smith that he sought God after wisdom. I mean, Joseph Smith, that is a lie out of hell. That is, and that's why, and God's gospel is not a prejudiced gospel. But the devil is not prejudiced either. The devil is the thief, and he wants to kill everybody. He is not prejudiced. His job, he is known as the thief. In St. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief cometh for nothing but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So, sir, you notice that you should know that using the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in baptism, ain't no Trinity. That is the first lie. And there is but one God. James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. The baptism, the only baptism in the Bible, the only baptism that heaven recognizes is in the name of Jesus. That's why he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What? Believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ascension, the appearing to take the church away, and 7 years later, the second coming, when he comes to step foot on that Mount of Olives and split that valley in half. The prophecy will be fulfilled when he, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Of his who? His saints. So you better know you're a saint of God right now. So you got to be born again. And so it's just a sad state that the church is in. So some of us, we aren't afraid. I'm going to be like Joshua told, the Lord told Joshua after the death of Moses, be strong and of a good courage. You got to have courage nowadays to preach the gospel. These folks are call itself having other people following after men, and they're not teaching any doctrine. And the Bible talks about doctrine from the old to the new, and doctrine is none other than teaching. We're talking about clean living. We're talking about Christian teaching. We're talking about teaching holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Talking about the oneness. This is what God always wanted. Even back when the children of Israel, who were his chosen people, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He always wanted them to know that there is but one God. So God, what a mighty God we serve. I mean, he was a cloud by day. He was a pillar of fire by night. He's God. I mean, you can't figure him out. In the beginning was the Word, like I read when I start off, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God. Is a divine testimony, someone said. There was only one witness on the stand. That was God himself. So man wants to try to figure out God. You can't figure out a thing or a person or a being unless you can go back and get the beginning, where the thing, the person, or the being originated from, the origin of the individual. God is a spirit. He always was. That's why he revealed himself unto Moses. The Bible said in the Psalms, 90th Psalm, even from everlasting, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world and the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, we can't. He didn't make himself. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He that walketh in darkness, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he is the light, and he didn't make himself. So we know the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So God is a spirit. The divine essence of God is a spirit. This is why he had to take on a body. Galatians 4 and 4, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Son of God came from the seed of the woman. This is why it was said in Luke 1 and 35, therefore that holy thing which shall be born in thee. When Mary asked the question, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Meaning, I haven't had sexual intercourse with a man. How in the world am I, the virgin's going to conceive and be with child and shall bring forth a son? That means Joseph, her husband, whom was betrothed to her, he never knew her. He didn't touch her. He didn't consummate the marriage. He didn't have sexual intercourse until after the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Virgin's going to be with child and bring forth a son. She's still a virgin. And shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the Son of God came from the seed of the woman. And so we can prove that too. And I know today we want to focus on out of 1 John, but we have to look at some things that we can look at about him being the seed of the woman according to the flesh. That is, talking about the Son of God, we can find that in the book of Romans. And so we did go through the book of Romans, but we want to talk about that. Paul, and a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. You have to be called to be an apostle. And God does that himself. Not nowadays, there are no apostles. So it doesn't matter. I mean, folks that get all bent and out of shape, they crown themselves and name themselves apostle. But anyway, separated in the gospel of God, which he promised, afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. There it is. The Son of God was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So the Son of God came from the woman and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So we know Apostle Paul had came to Rome when he had heard of their faith. This is not a church that he had started. He started the church at Ephesus down in Ephesus. But anyway, he heard of their faith in Rome, and he came to see them, and he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gifts. So we talked about that. So anyway, that is so very important to realize this is not just an ordinary man, but there is nobody's grave in the world that you can go to that the angel already said that he is not here. He is risen as he said. So this is the Jesus said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See, like nowadays, all of these important leaders who, try to act like they're Elijah and all that, they're not Elijah. You don't fix them a cake first. That was back then. That's not now. Bible said God, in the book of Hebrews, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's the office of sonship. That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So he is the inspiration that we teach and preach under. He is the unction of the Holy One that we have in the New Testament church. He is the one that is not by might nor by power, but is by my spirit, saith the Lord. He is the focal point. He is the center, as we would say, the center of attraction. It's all about him. It's not about us. We are just tools in the master's hands. We are just vessels. We have to fulfill the ministry that he gave part to us to fulfill it. But it's not about us. It's about him. It's not my ministry, but it's God's ministry. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel of the love of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, it's my gospel. He was so intertwined to the gospel. So we thank God for that, his word. Well, I were able to get in there and to rightly divide the word of God. So, and I'm sorry, I know some of you are listening on Facebook, and some people go back and they click on the link on Twitter and also the Blog Talk Friends. But our guest call-in number, should you have a question, should you have a comment, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So you want to contribute to this show. We thank God for that. So on a day, as we continue on, and usually, like, I like to have my historian, he's not able to be here on this evening in this particular subject, because there are some things that we were dealing with here in 1 John, the fifth chapter. On this week, we had started off with this, but we still can deal with some of it. But whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So anyway, we dealt with some of these things on last week about there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. So we know that the Spirit descended. He ascended up far above all heavens. He that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. But we know the water and the blood bear witness in the earth. When Jesus was spirit in the side, out of his side came water and blood. But we receive the witness of men. The witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God, that he hath testified of his Son. This, a lot of people don't understand. The Godhead, the God who is the head of all things, that God is a spirit. So he had to shed his blood. So you can go back. There's and back in the Old Testament, he was spoken of. Prophet shall the Lord raise up like unto me of your brethren, him shall you hear. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, seed of the woman is going to bruise his head, thou shalt bruise his heel. That was one of the first, Genesis 3 and 15, one of the first prophecies. So, but there are other scriptures that are very important, and that is that he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. He came in the volume of the book, in the 40th Psalm. So that is so very important. So from Genesis to Revelation, he's coming in the volume of the book. In the book of Jeremiah, says, run through the streets and find a man. So we can see that God, that's why the Bible said there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I used to say that wrong. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So where is that found at? In 1 Timothy, the second chapter. So it's so very important. All you do is just get in the scriptures and search it out. You got to have to have been taught. So he says in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. See, he is our Savior, God himself, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That scripture, that statement right there, 1 Timothy 2 and 4, is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Question, are all men going to be saved? Answer, no. In the book of Peter, it says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So his will is that all be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. His will that all men be saved, and, that all, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They're not going to. God don't want nobody to go to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And the devil knows that there is only one God. He trembles. He knows that's a lie, but he got people deceived. So you got to make up your mind. You're not going to let the devil make a fool out of you and thinking that there is more than one God. Because the sonship was given for a purpose. You read in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, son's going to be subject to the Father that God may be all and in all. When is all that going to have to be? During the time when they're going to see Israel. All Israel is going to be saved. The 144,000, which is the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 from each tribe. You know 12 times 12 is 144,000. 12,000 times 12,000. So that is not no so-called Jehovah's Witnesses. That is another lie. The devil perpetrated up that foolishness. Russell, that is a lie. That is a lie. They don't believe the earth. God's going to destroy the earth. And the book of Peter says God's going to burn it up. It's going to melt with fervor and heat. It says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So let me serve you notice. All of you are that are under the sound of my voice and shall hear this recording. And that is, look how hot it was this summer. Very hot. And you know who sent the heat? And you know who didn't send the rain? The rain comes from heaven, the 55th chapter of Isaiah. I know a lot of people like to take that scripture and do violence to it. He said, as the rain and the snow come from heaven, the water the earth and make it to bud, and it, you know, to bring forth and to bud. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it's not going to return forth, it's going to accomplish the thing I sent it, prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. But one of the previous verses says, he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That is talking about a farmer. That is not talking about money. So that is a lie out of hell. You can't buy a blessing. And so I'm so sick of that. And it doesn't matter. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to lose nothing over it. You can't buy a blessing. So that's a lie. You don't sow a seed. You give the tithe, you pay the tithe, and a free will offering. And it's up to you. And your offering can be what you want it. It's a free will offering. You cannot buy a blessing. You don't bless no man first. The widow woman made Elijah the prophet a cake. You don't do that nowadays. You ain't paying the man of God. He didn't do nothing. He didn't die for you. He's just supposed to do his job. So that's what Jesus was talking about. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord coming shall find so doing. That servant that delays coming shall be drunken with the drunken and all that. He's going to be beat with many stripes. So the servant of the Lord, that's an awesome job to be a pastor or to be a leader, not for folks to worship you and all of that. That don't go like that. That is not the way God intent for it to be and for people to appreciate. You appreciate a person. You honor a person. You do right. You honor your mother and father, then that means you do what they say. You're not fighting against them or nothing. So we're not fighting against men. We're fighting against false prophets because that's, you figure, who are they? He said, many false prophets and false Christ shall arise, shall deceive many. I tell you who they are. They're not preaching the apostolic doctrine. They're false, because that means they're teaching more than one God. Jesus chose them in the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I don't pray for these only in his priestly prayer, but I pray for all of them which shall believe on me through their word, the ones that he chose. The Lord Jesus Christ himself chose. So it's no big deal about it. Like the song says, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go. And then the writer goes on to say, but oh, it's not just a story. So we got to believe the gospel message of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the appearing, which is the rapture of the church, and the second coming when he comes back to fight. We got to believe the word of the Lord, and we can see all of this greed and all these lies, all this stuff is going on, all these billions of dollars, this Wall Street casino and all this foolishness, these so-called investors and these speculators and all this foolishness. All God put all resources, gas, and things here, not for folks to merchandise and take advantage of people and charge out of the nose for the stuff, because rich people, they think that gain is a godliness. They don't believe in God for the most part. They trust in themselves. They don't trust in the living God who gives us richly, the Apostle Paul said, all things to enjoy, but they're exploiting people, and some people can't eat. That's going to be a horrible thing. Those stand before a great white throne judgment, is that they could have helped somebody out. And don't get me wrong. There are some people that are billionaires that have causes to help people. On the other hand, there are those who aren't. Their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. So, I mean, you're supposed to be such an official in a certain church, then surely you ain't got time to so-called call yourself running a nation. So who are you trying to impress, or who are you serving? You can't serve two masters. Like Jesus said, you hate the one, cleave to the other, you hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. It's going to be a lot of folks lost forever because of the love of money, because of the greed of money, because of what the Bible calls it being, talking about a bishop shouldn't be greedy of filthy lucre. That is talking about money. So I marvel. Like I said, there are some great preachers out there. It amazes me. I mean, it makes you very uncomfortable. I'll get a $20 when they get done. I've been to churches where they said, okay, we're only going to receive one offering. Then when they get done, they have a guest preacher in there. He get done preaching, and I mean, preach, break the book up, as we say. Rightly divide that word and all that, and then ask everybody, oh, get a $20 bill in your hand. I mean, no. If you're the pastor and you said there's only going to be one offering, why don't you stop him? So I look at all of these things, and you know what? Ain't no man on the earth got a heaven or a hell to put me in. So I can say what thus saith the Lord. I'm not yoked up. I'm not chained up. I'm free. I have liberty in Christ to say what thus saith the Lord. So these people ought to quit hustling people out of their money and all this foolishness that people are doing and making themselves some great one. I mean, you're not guiding on, you're going to get rewarded for how many big wheels you gave to people. No, that's not about it at all. Like Apostle Paul said, that he called me to preach the gospel. That's why he was saying that I keep under my body, I bring it under subjection, lest by any means I preach to others, and I myself should be a castaway. So in other words, I don't want to lose focus what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be hustling people out of their money and telling people to sow a seed and give in abundance and all that. No, that's just, all of that is man's stuff. But God's plan of giving has never changed. Because the tithe was before the law. So the tithe and a free will offering. No such thing as somebody can talk as long as they want because they pay more tithes than everybody else. That's stupid. No, I don't care if somebody make $100,000, have a job that they make $100,000 a year, they would pay $10,000 in tithes. Somebody got a $10,000 job a year, they pay $1,000. As far as equally as that person is just as important as the person who gave the most. Else, we just like the people when that widow threw in that put that widow's mite in there. Those people were throwing in the treasury of their abundance. Jesus saw what they were doing. He said, "This poor widow is cast in more than ye all because she cast in all her living." So, man, we got to respect a person. Oh, yeah, he can talk as long as he wants, much tithe as he's paying. No, that's respect a person. A person is a tithe payer, whether they pay big money, and a person who only makes little money and pays, they're just as important to God. That's man. That we're into that rich man, poor man stuff. That's not God at all. But anyway, we go on here. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So we know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. So the office of sonship is what we're talking about, okay? He goes on, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." That word, believeth, E-T-H, you got to keep on believing. So that's why Jesus is saying, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is in the seventh chapter of St. John. That last day, that great day of the feast, 37th verse, Jesus stood and cried. That means he made a proclamation. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He ain't talking about water, natural water, but he's talking about water for the soul. "Let him come unto me and drink." He goes on to say, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So the writer John goes on to say, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believeth on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given." Jesus was not yet glorified. So we know, I'm going there now, in that particular scripture, so there was a division among the people because of Jesus. You know, they said one time, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him. They go on to say, many other people therefore heard, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" That's a legitimate question. Because even someone said, "Shall any good thing come out of Galilee?" So people have questions. Okay, he that hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. He's asking a question. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Him who? Jesus. Okay, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and said unto them, "Why have ye not brought him?" Talking about Jesus. They wanted to take him, because one time they took Jesus, they were going to take him to the brow of the city. They did take him to the brow of the city, which is a cliff, that they might cast him out headlong. That means they threw Jesus off of the cliff headlong. I mean, if you go off a cliff headlong, you know what's going to happen. Natural person, you're going to die. They took him to the broader city to cast him out headlong, but the Bible went on to say, "But Jesus, through the midst of them, passed by." So he passed by. He went his way. So what happened when they did that? He disappeared. That was a miracle. He left. It wasn't his time. So, but anyway, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. Look at this. These are the so-called religious rulers. So, do we have that problem today? Yes, we do. Religion is persecuting the truth. Like I said, it's folly to all of this stuff. That foolishness where you kill yourself, you blow yourself up, you're going to paradise. No, you ain't going to paradise. You're going to wake up and stand before God. You're going to get cast into a devil's hell because you got deceived. You're not going to get no 72 version. That is a lie out of hell. You a so-called martyr. No, martyrs didn't want to be martyrs. Martyrs during that time, sawn asunder, pulled in half, some of the disciples, the apostles, were skinned alive, cast off of buildings, thrust through with darts, pulled in half by horses. Nobody chose to die a death like that. So to make yourself a martyr, a so-called suicide bomber, that's the biggest fool in the world. He got conned by that lie that he believes. You're not getting it. You're not going to paradise. You blow yourself up. That is a lie out of hell. And then why don't these jellyback people stand up and say that? And so some people have. They've said, no, that's not us. We're not about that. You're not going to no paradise. You're not going to get no 72 versions. That is a lie, too, because you got to believe the scripture. The Pharisees, the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection, spirit, or angel. The Pharisees believed in it all. So there is that lie right there. So in other words, in this life is relationships. And this life is marriage. You like they asked Jesus the question about the woman who has seven husbands. And under the law of Moses, the man died. He didn't have a seed. His brother married his wife to raise up seed. One woman, she had seven husbands. She died. At the end, she died. So they said, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? So he busts a bubble in their little foolishness. He said, neither. They shall be as angels. So that's how we are going to be in the world to come. Baptized believers, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost in this dispensation. It was imputed to them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, after the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is imputed unto them. How do you think they're going to get up in the first resurrection? They have to have the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelling in them to quicken their mortal body by his spirit. So that's foolishness. You're not going to get no 72 virgins. You can't even find your brain. You can't find nothing else. If you saw a virgin, you couldn't do nothing, no way. So that's a lie out of hell. And so the devil is just making a fool out of people with that foolishness. A so-called suicide bomber, you ultimately got deceived. And people just getting made out of a mockery, like the so-called underwear bomber. I mean, he didn't do nothing but singe himself, made a fool out of himself. But that's the devil. And you got to understand, in the book of the Revelation, the 20th chapter, it says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. They're going to be the only two cast into the lake of fire alive. Is the beast and the false prophet are going to beat the devil there. And so the devil that deceived them, he's going to be cast to the lake where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, I mean, you don't want to be one of them that he deceived. So that's why God has opened doors and made ways, and God has knowledge has increased. So God has given wisdom, given man knowledge. We give you wisdom too. You ask any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberty and upbraideth not. Let him ask in faith. So everybody can do that. But God has given knowledge to people. And so during that time of the tribulation period, when Moses and Elijah come back to preach, and they're going to kill them in the streets of Jerusalem, they're going to be dead for 3 days, lying in the street, and the spirit of life from God is going to get back in Elijah and Moses, they're going to stand up, fear is going to fall on everyone that sees it. Like someone said, one of our bishops who died in 1990, how are they going to see it? He said, on the satellite TV. But, hey, it's even gone in even farther. You can see them on your phone. You can see them on your computer. You can see them on your tablet. We can see things, satellites bouncing off, because God gave wisdom. God gave man the knowledge to be able to do these things, instant messaging. So why, like the Bible says, when he appeared, we're going to appear with him in glory. This is how we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So true science and God's word is in perfect harmony. folks, I heard someone interviewing the man that's over NASA today. They're talking about things and about Mars and the time delay and all of that. But if we do what God says, you will inherit all things, all of us. We do what God says, we don't have to worry. We will be there. We don't have to fly somewhere. We can just think of somewhere and be there. We do what God says. You ain't got to spend $1 million. See, that's only for the rich and the famous. If God does let these people figure out how to get to Mars, and it costs $1 million to ride a spaceship to Mars, then who you think gonna go? Only rich people. So I mean, God gonna fix all of that. God is not playing. And I'm gonna tell you, when God let that devil, the Antichrist, who is going to be the devil incarnate, get in that man and rule. He's going to sit in the temple showing himself that he is God. That's why a Thessalonians, the second chapter, says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. He who now hindereth will hinder it. Who? The prayers of the saints. Who? The church, the body of Christ, is hindering that devil from working like he really want to work. He's on a rampage right now, killing people and getting people's minds, and they're doing crazy things. Killing up folks and lying. Even some folks have told lies in the past that God told them to do it. That is a lie. God ain't told you to go kill nobody. That devil tell that lie, and you think people would stand up and say it. You ought to know. God is not telling you to go shoot up nobody. That is a lie. God didn't do that. So these things are happening in our world today, and people, they just don't, as a people, it's a shame. I mean, folks are so educated that they don't believe God. And how sad that is, because God didn't want you. God is not against education. He don't want you to be ignorant. Even Apostle Paul wrote to the church, the Corinthian church, and he summed it up in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So in other words, that's your own fault. You don't have to be ignorant. So you don't have to be ignorant. Body, soul, and spirit. You don't have to be ignorant. You can get in that. One thing about the Bible, you can get in there and search it out for yourself. You don't just let this foolishness of these people turn it. You're the head, not the tail. The church is not the head and not the tail. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is Israel. Israel is the head. Israel are the Jews are the chosen people. Now, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. We're not the head. They're the lenders, not the borrowers. The Jews, they literally have that. Jews have the money, and the Arabs have the oil, and ain't nothing we can do about it. That's the way that goes. That's the way it is. So, but anyway, I was talking here about Jesus, and when he had made that, they thought he was that prophet, and all what they said, no man lay, they would have taken him, but no man lay hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered. Notice the subject here is Jesus. Never man spake like this man, talking about Jesus. So remember, he is the resurrection and the life. Remember when Lazarus died? On purpose, he didn't go down there. So he said I not unto thee, thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. When Mary was saying, Martha was saying to her brother, you had have been here, he would have not died. But I know whatever you ask of God, he will give it thee. So he said, your brother shall rise again. And so she knew about the resurrection. She said, I know I see him in the resurrection of the last day. And that's when Jesus let her know, I am the same I am was back there in the Old Testament. I am the resurrection and the life. Remember, St. John 8:58, when they talked about Jesus, says, you're not even 50 years old. He was saying, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. He went on, you're not even 50 years old. You seen Abraham? At St. John 8:58, he said, before Abraham was, I am, the same I am. What he said in the 11th chapter of St. John, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You've got to know what death he's talking about. He's talking about not being hurt of the second death. That's what's so important. Second death hath no power. But the first resurrection, you got to be in that. You're going to live and reign with Christ. You in the first resurrection. The second resurrection is those people going to be standing before the great white throne. You want to be able to get up. That's why the Bible says there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. So a lot of what we don't know, understand, those aborted babies and all of that, God's not losing a soul when it comes to that. These people killing these babies, they weren't able to be to die. They died before the age of accountability. So the devil perpetrated his foolishness, what he does to people, but God's going to have his number. God is God. God is a wise God. But we that are alive and are living, we got to make a choice. That's why he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that's the folly of sprinkling a baby. He didn't say you sprinkle a baby when he's a baby. No. You got to believe for yourself. So you got to believe and be baptized. That is the right name, the right way, and the right name, and that is the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4:12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is in the name of Jesus. That's why he said that repentance in 24th chapter of St. Luke, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. This is Jesus talking. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this started on the day of Pentecost. So what? No embracing an angel, that foolishness like someone did. No, you don't embrace no angel. That's foolishness. That angel may take you to hell. This gospel is preached by men. We can see plainly that in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Simon Peter was at Simon the Tanner's house, who dwelt by the seaside. When the angel spoke to Cornelius, he told him to go inquire of one Simon of Peter's who at the house of Simon the Tanner. When he come, who? Simon Peter, a man who had the keys. He's going to tell you what you ought us to do. So that's what he had to do. So I tell you another lie, and I curse that lie back to hell. That is, they know you're going to get there, and St. Peter ain't going to let you in. No, you better know you saved right now. Peter ain't at the gate. Peter going to be raptured like everybody else. That's another lie. Ain't no St. Peter at the gate letting nobody in. That is a lie. Peter used the keys, that is, the power and authority that the Lord gave him. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. He was the man that had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He is the man that had the words of eternal life because the Lord Jesus Christ had given them unto him. This is why we got to believe in the Son of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in that human body, incarnate. He is the Christos, the anointed flesh. This is the reason why you got to really understand that the Jews as a nation did not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So that's so very important. And then Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So you got to believe that he is. So we go on here, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we know our time is almost. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so we go on here. We know that the Son of God is coming, hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we thank God for his word. So we'd like to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.